Alrighty. Hey, gang. Welcome back, you guys. Episode 128 of Zero Carb Journal. I'm Matt, as always. And good morning, you guys. How are ya? Did you have a good week? Hope you had a great one. My week's been good. Just been chilling here at home, doing my quarantine thing. So it's been great, actually. I've been feeling good. And I've been productive and staying pretty much positive and happy in the moment for the most part. So been having a pretty good run here. Hope you guys are too. Quarantine is dragging on a bit here, but not too bad. You know, here in my state, actually, we're doing pretty good. It seems like our numbers have been going down, and it seems like we've got pretty good management here. I've been going to town once every few weeks, and people seem to be wearing masks in the store and basically being considerate. It's not too bad. So my week's been pretty great, though, for the most part, you guys. I've been feeling really good. I have been eating pretty much just my ground beef, little bit of added fat in the form of either some of my sliced ribeye or some lamb ribs that I'm kind of working my way through at the end of my freezer there, and it's been good. It's been just the regular old deal. So you know how it goes, eating the same thing. Oh, Esther, hi, hola, thank you for being here. It's great to see you. Glad to hear this thing's working. That makes all the difference knowing that you guys are out there. So my week's been pretty good. A little slow, you know. I'm kind of settling into my quarantine routine here, and I gotta say, I'm really enjoying kind of settling into the slower pace and having my days, you know, kind of just form around my. I guess what I'm trying to say is not having something to go do that takes me from other stuff. It's been great. I've just been really positive, staying in the moment and making a ton of progress, really working hard on all of my projects here, stoves and zero carb stuff and the house and, you know, so I've been good, staying super positive, for the most part. I hope you guys are doing good. Hope you guys have been able to get enough food out there and things are getting better in that regard. I know there was a little bit of unsurety a few weeks ago, and it didn't seem like it was ever manifested as real shortages, but it certainly made us all a little concerned. So hopefully you guys are able to get all the food you need, and I'm hoping that situation doesn't get, you know, any worse. It seems like we're doing okay, so. One of the things on zero carbs a little concerning is just being able to find enough food, I guess. So on that note, I have my cows scheduled for slaughter in about a month. As a matter of fact, it's almost exactly a month from now. We talked last night and nailed down the schedule. So I'm really happy about that. I was kind of concerned that that either the slaughter guy was going to be unavailable or the butcher was going to maybe close their doors with what's going on. I just didn't know what was going to happen. So really thankful to have that sort of locked and loaded and have that, the, you know, freezer full of beef coming. Hey, Kuhner, good to see you, man. Glad you're here. Welcome. So that feels great knowing that I'm going to put those cows in the freezer and be pretty much stocked up for the next, you know, 6 or 8 months or so. So that feels good. And let's see, what else can I tell you about? So a couple things. One thing is my blood test. I wanted to talk a little bit about that letsgetchecked.com deal that I have going. So you guys know that's something that if you take advantage of that, I'll get a little cut, which is really helpful to me. But really what I want to talk about wasn't the links or the money. It was about my tests, and it was about my testosterone test. And we touched on it last week a little bit. And Kuhner, you asked about the Linda, hi, nice to see you. Thanks for being here. So Kuhner, you asked about, Dr. Baker and exercise. And I did a little more research this week, kind of looking into all that. And I didn't come up with anything definitive with regards to, you know, why some may have low testosterone and others, normal. And with regards to our diet, there's obviously other variables, like we talked about, like a lot of exercise and things like that. But at any rate, what I wanted to say was I've seen some posts going around the boards lately, people saying, oh my gosh, you know, should I be concerned about my testosterone on the carnivore diet? And I want to say, just from my experience, no, first of all. It doesn't seem like it's related to the diet, at least in my experience. And B, really more than anything, more than it was about the diet, it was about the tests. And just really what I want to talk about was the peace of mind that that brought me, because I realized I'd been seeing these posts, you know, kind of making us question whether there was, you know, something maybe deficient in a carnivore diet. And to be honest with you, if I hadn't had the test, I mean, that's why I got the test, because I was slightly wondering myself if maybe there that was something that was a reality. And so I just wanted to comment on really the mental peace of mind that those tests gave me this week, as I read those posts and I was, you know, wanting to say, no, look, mine's fine. After 3 years, you know, my testosterone is great. So obviously it's not the diet. And when I was thinking about posting those things, I was like, oh man, that is a example of how much that testing helped me be confident in my, you know, current health. So that was just an observation that I made. It wasn't about the tests being, you know, proving something or anything like that. It was really just about how it made me feel and how I took information from the outside world and you know, how I perceive things based on that data that I received. And so it was really eye-opening to me to say, oh, you know, if I hadn't had that test, I'd be sitting here reading that post and going, yeah, I wonder if. And instead, I'm sitting here going, no, it's not a problem, at least not for me. So it feels really good, because I know that, you know, I really look up to Dr. Baker, and if I wasn't having some hard data coming from somewhere else, I'd probably be a little bit concerned. So as it is, I'm not concerned. For any of you who might be concerned for yourselves, I don't think you should be, but at the same time, I do think that for $75 or whatever, that test is just an amazing, you know, way to achieve some peace of mind with regards to things you might be wondering about, like vitamin D or cholesterol or testosterone or any of those things. You know, there's other stuff, CRP, whatever. So yeah, Esther, it's really nice to be here on a Sunday, and I'm so thankful that you guys are here with me. Really appreciate having you guys hanging out here. So it's just a nice, nice way to spend time. And, you know, it is, it's a great Sunday pastime for me anyways. I really enjoy sitting here and hanging out with you guys on a Sunday. Yeah, Kuhner, you know, it's just, like I said, you've been watching, you know me, I'm like firmly, I'm firm in my beliefs that I don't have any deficiencies and that I don't need to do anything else. But like I said, after reading those posts and hearing Dr. Baker, you know, I would be wondering for sure if I hadn't had that test. And I don't think that's a big deal. Robin, hi. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Good morning. I hope we didn't wake you up too early, but yeah, I'm glad you're here, Robin. Thank you. Last week you popped in right as I had just clicked sign off, and I just missed you, but I'm glad you're here. Thank you. So yeah. So anyways, Kuhner, yeah, that test, really, that's what it was about. It was just really, I didn't even realize it until just I was reading those posts and I went, oh man, my mental state is really in a different place than it would have been if I hadn't taken those tests. So it just was interesting to observe it, its effect on my mental state. Again, not saying anything about proving one thing or another or anything like that. It was just that I was being exposed to information that might have made me second guess myself. And as it were, I was totally confident that I'm good. So anyways, that's the thing about the test. And I think that it's just a really interesting phenomenon. You know, we are bombarded by information telling us constantly that what we're doing is wrong, is a bad idea, is unhealthy, is scientifically proven to kill us. You know, all of that stuff that comes our way, you know, that we have to sort of like steel ourselves against and build up these walls about. And the data, the blood tests, you know, that's just information that helps. So you're welcome, Esther. I'm glad you're going to go ask. I think it's not, like I said, in hindsight, after doing it, I'm realizing, yeah, it's not that big a deal. Like, we're good, right? If I didn't have the test, I'd still be fine. But it helps me in my resolve and in my conviction. So that observation kind of came to me fairly recently, and it just was something that I thought I'd share. So yeah, Kuhner, you were talking about low vitamin D last week, and I wonder if sardines could help with that. Not sure if you can eat those. Yeah, and if I'm worried at all, that is. Yeah, it's a great question and a great way to put it, Keener. Thanks. So I, I'm always concerned a little bit about having low vitamin D. I went back and looked. I think, actually, you know what? I think I can do it right now. I'll look and I'll tell you guys exactly what the numbers were. So my folate on this test was 4.5. Five, anything under 4.7. Wait. Yeah, so let's see. Vitamin D. I had a 19.3 with a reference range of a 30 to an 80. So I'm deficient. What do they say? They say mild to moderate, 10 to 19. So mild to moderate deficiency, 10 to 19 ng over ml or whatever. So now I've messed up my whole screen. I can't see anything. So to answer your question, Kuhner, am I worried? I'll just start there. Not really. I was slightly, I was curious for sure, and wondering, well, if this was low. Does more make me feel better? Do I notice anything? And I only took those supplements for a couple of days, so I don't know if that was enough to make a difference. I would have thought that maybe that would bump up my levels to where if there was something that was making me feel bad, that would make me feel good. I don't know. I think the reality, Kuhner, that I'm really not very concerned about it because I feel great. And I did take that test a month ago, and we are coming out of, I'm only going to get more vitamin D as we come into summer here. So, not too worried. But to answer your question about sardines, I like sardines, and I think I can eat them, but probably not in any significant amount. I think I told you about the cod liver oil I ate, and it just made me horribly ill. And sardines are kind of the same way. Not that I've haven't eaten enough to experience that, but they just have that, fish oil. And they're packed in usually their own oil, thankfully, which is good. But that oil seems to be a real problem for me. Anything oily, like hard fat, I can do, but liquid fat of any type, and oil especially, like I said, I think those vitamin D pills, that was a tiny little bit of oil, and it literally just runs right through me. So it's not super, like it doesn't cause pain or anything, so it's not like I can't do it. But I just, it definitely takes me the wrong direction. But I do like sardines, so, and I have, I mean, on my wish list, my watch list on Amazon, I've got like some can, sardines and I forget what else, some other small bait fish as it were, thinking that they're a great source of both fat and vitamin D and vitamin E and things like that. And I know that they are. And so, I have those things on my list. I do, like in my mind, I see benefits of incorporating them into my diet, but in reality, they end up usually making me feel worse, and so then I get scared to try. So I don't know what if I answered your question. I think the answer is that I would conceptually like to try them, but I'm always scared to because of how they might make me feel. Maybe I'll try some in the coming weeks and let you know how they did make me feel rather than just speculating. But that's how it is for me right now. And you know how it is, you guys. You get into your routine of this simple way of eating. I mean, when I started, I was always looking for little things I could add. I'll try this cheese, I'll try these sardines, I'll try this pepperoni or whatever. But as you narrow and go down the road and find out, as I've found out, I'll just speak for myself, as I've found out those things kind of negatively affect me, I've just tightened it up to where I'm pretty much just the few things that aren't too bad, the ground beef and the smoked salmon. And now it's not that I'm scared, I just it's hard for me to I don't perceive the benefits outweigh the disadvantages of eating other stuff. And that's not really a comment on why I'm not eating sardines. That's really just a comment on my mental state overall, and probably something that I should work on in terms of maybe opening up a bit. But on the other hand, every time I open up and then I have a terrible experience and I wonder why I did it. I eat a few bites of cheese and I wreck my weekend or whatever. So I'm not talking really about the fish. I'm just kind of rambling. So, and Kuhner says, I thought cod liver might be worse because it's much fattier. Or the fish, am I talking about the fat for the fish itself or the olive oil they put it in? I only buy sardines in water. Okay, that's interesting. So sardines packed in water might be different. Yeah, typically those small bait fish are packed either in olive oil or they're packed in their own oil. Now, I used to do a lot of canning, Kuhner. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I've talked about being, you know, really into food preservation and farming and all that. So I had a canner and I was always canning all my vegetables and stuff. Well, I live right 2 miles down the road is a tribal reservation with a big salmon hatchery on a big river, and I have friends who work there, and so I could go down there at spawning season in October every year, and they would absolutely fill up my freezer with salmon. I mean, as much salmon as I could bring home, I could get for free. It was soft, and you know, they were spawned out because they were milking them for the eggs and the I forget what the fish male stuff is called. Anyways, I would get all that fish and I would bring it home and can it. And what's interesting about canning fish is things like salmon and those small bait fish, a lot of times you don't need to add any oil at all when you can them. They just extract all the oil of their own. And that's, I think, what makes me sick. It's whether it's the olive oil or whether it's their own oil, it tends to make me sick. And those small sardines packed in water are good, and I can eat a few of them. But again, my experience is that they're just so oily. But I could be wrong. So Esther likes them grilled on the barbecue, which might be better for me, Esther. That's a really good tip, actually, because that's what I do with kind of all my foods, right? I sort of put them on the barbecue and get some of that liquid fat out of them, because I don't deal with it very well. Canned sardines are okay if you add a little lemon. That's interesting. I might have to try that. I used to love lemon on all my fish. And sardines and water, Kuhner, that's another interesting one. And fresh ones, you know, we have some frozen bait fish, sardines and smelt and things like that here. And I did buy some smelt, actually, to try it. And it was okay. You know, honestly, they're just kind of small distractions, and then I end up really wanting to get back to my beef because I need to eat a lot of it. So even a little fish. I'm laughing because of Robin's comment there. Yeah. So anyways, that's the fish stuff. I didn't quite finish that thought, but it doesn't matter. Robin says you could always move south if you need more D. And did I ever tell you guys how when I lived in Southern California until I was 6 years old, I was just old enough to get all my OP surfwear and get my first skateboard and start boogie boarding in the ocean. And then when I was 6 and a half or 7, we moved to Seattle. And I don't know if I've ever told you guys this. I covered, starting from when I was 7 years old, I covered every picture in every wall in my room with pictures of surfing. And it stayed that way until I could drive. And then I instantly drove to the coast 2.5 hours away the day I turned 16. That's the true story. And tried to learn how to surf. And Robin, that's my way of telling you, if I could live where you live, I would live there in a heartbeat. I can't afford it. I would live there. I would move to San Diego in 4 blinks if I could. I love it there. I love, love, love it. But not for me, unfortunately. Out of my price range. But I'm envious. I love coming to visit. And man, I sure could use some more vitamin D in that sense. Sun and sunset cliffs. That's where I would be right now, probably. But at the same time, it just means that I have more fun places to go visit. So, and I've been thinking about that. You know, it's not time yet, obviously, with all the stuff that's going on. I know some people are starting to get out and about, but I'm definitely going to keep things kind of tight here for a little while everyone gets their antsy out of their pants here in the next month or two. But I'm definitely, you know, my boat work looks like it's probably pretty much done. I built up an awesome road trip van all this last winter. I've been working my butt off on it. And so I'm ready to go for a road trip. I want to come down there, Robin, and hang out for a while and surf and do all that. So that might happen this winter. We'll see what happens with the pandemic and everything else. But I'd love to come spend some time there, Robin. I just love where you are. It's just one of my favorite places. And it, you know, I mean, it's starting to get nice here. We've got sun now. And it's been really nice, to be honest. I'm actually really thankful for where I live, especially right now, because I'm so, you know, I'm free to do whatever I want here. I can go run around the woods and ride my bike and don't see any other people. So what's going on doesn't really affect me too much day to day. But yeah, South is pretty nice. Man, I love San Diego. I'm supposed to be, what is it right now? It's the 24th. I'm supposed to be in El Salvador right now, you guys. Did I tell you guys that? I think I did. So I had bought a plane ticket to El Salvador, and I had rented a villa down there with my oldest friend. And so that was going to be my first trip, you know, since I've been eating this way out of the country anyways. Kind of my first real vacation. And I woke up this morning thinking about that. I was like, oh, I was supposed to be in El Salvador surfing right now. And Esther, I think you're right. I totally think you're right. Esther says travel as much as you can and want before next winter, because we'll be again on a quarantine. And I think you're correct, at least here in our country. I mean, our leadership is so poor. I mean, if you're not upset about our leadership, I don't know what to tell you. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And we are definitely going to be in trouble moving forward here, because we're getting no leadership at all. So, I don't think I could live in a city, Kuhner. I've done it before. Kuhner asked, could I live in a city? No, I don't think so. I mean, I say San Diego, I say I'd love to live there. And I said that, you know, financially is the only reason I couldn't. And in some ways that's true, because, you know, obviously there's people with space in San Diego, but they have, you know, $40 million in homes. But no, Kuhner, I grew up in Seattle, as I just said, and as soon as I could, I left. And I've always lived in more rural areas, and I definitely feel better in rural areas. I do not fit in the city. I spend all my time outside. You know, I don't have indoor activities. I've been trying to learn how to play video games. I don't even like video games, but just like I'm playing my guitar. I've been playing my guitar a little bit, Kuhner, you'd be happy to hear. So, no, I'm an outdoor guy, man. Cities don't do it for me. Here's the thing. When I lived in the city, just like everyone else in the city, which drives me nuts, by the way, not everyone. Some people like it there and stay there. But for the most part, people who live in the city live in the city, and then they drive to where they really want to be on the weekends. So I grew up with that as my MO, thinking like, oh yeah, you got to drive to where you want to be. And I was like, this is so stupid. Why don't you live where you want to be? Like, what the hell? Makes me almost want to start swearing. My brother is a great example. He lives in the city. He doesn't leave. My sister lives in the city and can't stand it, and is always, she leaves, you know, every second she can. And I mean, I understand why she does. I'm not picking on her. She has a great job that she couldn't get anywhere else, and that's why most people do that. But I just, you know, I would choose, you know, you only live, we're only here for right now, so I'm not going to waste it in the city because of a job. Whew, there's another rant for you. So yes, there are rural rocks. Yeah, Esther, you're right. The countries are all the same, not much better in terms of our leadership. I mean, God, our country's horrible right now. You look at what's going on in the South, the states who are being, you know, misled about, you know, they have no leadership, and they're being told to, not told, but their leaders that they trust are showing them, you know, to ignore. Yeah, I won't even talk about it. It's so frustrating. I'm just thankful I live in a state where we actually have some pretty good leadership, and people are for the most part wearing masks in stores and being responsible and respectful, and we're having a pretty good run. But of course, you don't see the numbers anywhere. So while our state's numbers are going down, everyone else is for the most part going up. So I'm just thankful to be where I am, and that we've chosen fairly good leadership in my state, unlike the rest of our country for the most part. So rural does rock, though. And Esther says, I grew up in a farm in the middle of nowhere, and I can't stand anymore living in a city. Yeah, you're in Paris right now, huh, Esther? And that's very different, I'm sure, from rural Spain. I mean, cities are exciting. You know, I do love to visit them. And I like the excitement. You know, I sometimes romantically imagine spending 3 months in a studio in the city. But yeah, rural definitely fits me better. And you know, it's a struggle no matter where you are. I mean, here I'm like, oh, you know, every now and then I'll be like, oh, I'm lonely, or it's so hard to go get, you know, socialize and run into people. So there's pros and cons to both sides, but definitely on my day to day, every day, wake up, do what I do, I just am so much more comfortable here. Hi, Jackie. Glad you're here. Welcome. So, and you know, especially now with you know, the crowded cities being what they are. So Robin, there is a couch. Okay. Robin says there's a couch I could use for a visit if you want to come down. So yeah, Robin, you know, it, like I said, there's a really good chance it's going to happen. I'm going to wait for things to, I mean, just to see what's going to happen in the next 6 weeks or 2 months. But I think that by the end of summer here, I think I will probably be on the road, and there's a really good chance I'm going to come see you. So yeah, Kuhner. And Kuhner says, I've never been sure about how I want to live. Wish I could just switch whenever I feel like it. And I mean, that's, I guess what I was just trying to say, Kuhner, is that despite me just sort of going on about rural, I see the charms of the city too. And I'll be honest. So I've been here for 20 years on this 15-acre property, and I've been farming pretty hard, you know, a lot of fence building, a lot of digging, a lot of, you know, all that stuff. Home maintenance, there's always a list. And so I have, in these past, just recently, in the past year even, really entertained the idea of going, boy, I wonder how I would do like in a condo in the city with no maintenance, where I wake up and I don't have to think about any of my chores. I just think about, you know, other things I'd like to do. And there's something about that that's kind of appealing. I think that in the long-term run, I don't think it would be for me, because those things I think of as chores are what I do all day. I mean, it's how I'm productive, right? Fixing the roof and the plumbing and coming up with a new system for this or that. And, you know, I think that if I were home in a condo, I'd be bored. I'd be at a loss for stuff to put my skills to use at. Some people are, you know, good at math and they can stay home and do their stuff. I don't know. I guess that's just me. So my brain would rot. I think so too. Yeah, more people does equal more noise, crime, and EMFs. That's true. And Robin, you're supposed to be in the Galapagos on a sailboat right now. Oh, that sucks. I remember you talking about meeting your friend, and then I talked about going on a trip, and I wasn't sure if that happened, like if you did that right away or if it was in the future. I'm so sorry. We were going to be actually really close to each other. Oh, that sounds fun though. Oh, it sounds lovely. And I've been thinking about sailboats a lot too. You know, I've always been a sailor. I've got my master's license for 50 ton boats with sailing and towing certificates. And, I've just been on sailboats ever since I was, in my mom's tummy, to be honest. It's one of my dad's favorite stories, talk about me as a young sailor, because I was really into it before they tore me out of Southern California. But yeah, so I've had two big sailboats here in the last 10 years or so, and I sold them as I started to restructure because I was, you know, wanting to focus on my health and other things. But lately I've been thinking about it, and that's always been my plan B if the farm here goes under. If I can't sustain my lifestyle here, I can always sell this whole piece of land and buy myself a sailboat, and then you'll see me for sure, Robin. I'll take you down there to the Galapagos and we'll drop you off and give you a ride. Yeah, so, but I, Esther, I think you're right. I think our travel windows might just be in this fall, and then we might be shut back down. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen, I guess. Yeah. So how are you guys? How are you guys doing with zero carbs? Everyone staying good? Jackie, have you been eating no bacon? Are you still on your no bacon stretch? I hope so. Hope that's working out well for you. I have some bacon in my freezer that I just looked at this morning. I was like, I'm going to thaw that out. It's tempting. No bacon. Good for you, Jackie. I'm glad you're still sticking with it. That's great to hear. That's super cool. So what else, you guys? What else can we talk about? Got any other zero carb anecdotes, any stories, any new info? A lot easier and less mess to just have your burger patties, ribs, and tenderloins. It really is. And Kuhner says it's great to be on the water in any way. Rented a canoe for a day this week. Yeah, getting out on the water. I mean, that's, for me, surfing is it. You know, just it just gets you away from the people, gives you that space, and something about it seems to really, at least for me, hit the reset button. So, Esther, eggs and meat, good for you. That's a good, simple diet. So, I've told you guys that I've been buying eggs once in a while these past few months. I think I've bought probably 24 eggs in the last 3 months or so, and they seem to be okay for me as long as I don't make them a regular thing. And it's not even like, they definitely add gas, but they don't seem to do much else. So I've been feeling like those are a really good, nutritional powerhouse that I can include. And when I don't have them, I don't really miss them or think that I'm deficient, but as soon as I eat them again, I'm like, oh man, there's something in there that my body really likes, because I can just tell. They just taste exceptionally good. So this week coming up here, I've got a pretty chill week. I don't have any boat work, thank goodness. Eggs and sardines, says Sarah. Yum. Ooh, you guys are inspiring me. I think it might be time for me to go to the store and branch out a little bit and try some things that might make me feel sick. I might go look for some sardines, you guys. I think, Kuhner, you inspired me. And Sarah, that comment right there just really kind of sealed the deal. So maybe I'll go find myself some eggs and sardines. Jackie says, so far, very much improved blood pressure, but I want to take more readings before deciding that I could reduce the cardiotone more. Still taking one before bed. Blood pressure was 130 over 74 with no meds. Hey, that's awesome, Jackie. That is so cool that you have made such progress just by dropping bacon. Don't rush into dropping your meds, but that's great. So happy to hear that. That's one of the coolest things about this way of eating is that we can finally, we have so few ingredients going in that we are some of the few people that actually can identify the way things affect us. I don't think that really would have been possible if you were mixing, all of the other things, even in a really stripped down omnivorous diet. So that's just wonderful, Jackie. I'm so glad to hear that. Esther says, going to try boiled eggs and mixing with the sardines. Yeah, that sounds really good. Jackie, 182 or 93. Wow, you're really, that's great. What an improvement. Wow. That's incredible. So happy for you. Hi, Deb. Welcome. Glad you're here. So Jackie says a little foot cramp here, but not crazy bad. So that's me too, Jackie. Definitely the electrolyte up and down the bacon on and off. And I definitely have been, still 3 years in, foot cramps are, they're not, I wouldn't say they're a huge issue, but they're a reality. I have them a few nights a week, not terrible, but they're not much fun either. Robin says, I would love to fix up a road trip family gears and go road tripping with my dog. It's such a joy, Robin. It's such a simple pleasure. I can't tell you how much joy it brings me. I don't think I've posted photos of me when I was 20 in my Volkswagen van, but you guys can imagine. I had long, curly, golden, blondish brown hair and hippie beads and my Malamute dog and my Volkswagen and my guitars and my skateboards and surfboards. And I spent 15 years in that on the road, just being a ski bum, basically surf bum. I mean, I had a great job in those industries, in the surf and ski industries. I wasn't a bum at all. I was actually kind of one of the top dogs in that world in with regards to that industry. But it was a good life. And so it was fun to kind of restructure my life here, fix my health, and sort of evaluate who I was now at 50 years old and go, I love that. And so, yeah, I bought that van. It's only been 9 months that I bought my dream van. I bought it in September. And I'd only just got ready to hit the road in January or February, if you guys remember me complaining in December. So I'm ready. I'm so excited. And the dog is crucial. Got to have a little buddy for the road trip. Wow, Sarah. So Sarah says, my 14-year-old daughter has epilepsy and is still seizure-free on carnivore after 8 years of absent seizures and occasionally grandma. Sarah, that's so amazing. That is incredible, Sarah. Wow. I knew that you had been working on her epilepsy and seizures with the carnivore diet, but I wasn't aware that it had been so successful for you. I'm so happy to hear that. It's amazing. Jackie says, just got off the strong foot position and it stops. I'll see. I'll bring up the pictures of me as a hippie. Maybe I'll do it right now, Jackie. They're pretty fun. And Robin, you were going to go to Amber's Carnivore Conference in Boulder and that got postponed. Not sure if it's really going to happen. Yeah, Robin, after hearing you were going to go and everyone else, I kind of got excited about maybe going. And then I think the last period to buy tickets back there in February, I was afraid I wasn't going to be done with my boat work is what it was, is why I didn't pull the trigger. But I had these thoughts in my head of maybe road tripping out there. So who knows if it happens, maybe I'll end up doing that. I need to drive out to Colorado. So when I was 20 in my Volkswagen van, the very first job I got, they kicked me out of the factory in Seattle and they said, you're going to go be our representative in Colorado. So when I was 20 years old in 1990, I loaded up that Volkswagen van full of snowboards and my Malamute and I drove out to Boulder and I lived there for like 3 years, kind of kicking off our snowboard brand out there. Bringing our brand out there. It's now kind of the maiden brand out there. It was a pretty fun time. But yeah, it's been on my list of things to do now is get in my van and go back to Colorado and spend a few weeks, a season. I don't know. I want to go be in the mountains up there. So, that's so amazing, Sarah. That's so wonderful. And feel like you have to eat pork chops, not have foot cramps. That's interesting, Sarah. Interesting. Huh. I wonder what it is that changes that for you. I'll have to try that myself. Sarah, you had epilepsy too. Better with keto, gone with carnivore. Wow, that's incredible. And Sarah says she thinks it has to do with the potassium in the pork. That's interesting, Sarah. I've been wondering about that myself. So CarnivoryCon is still a go in the first weekend of August. Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. So that's exactly the time of year that I used to have to drive out there. So I was a sales rep for snowboards and skateboards and stuff in the Rockies, Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, New Mexico, Arizona, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Montana. I don't know. It was a big territory. And in August of every year, I would have to leave the surf here. I would usually be camping on the coast kind of right near where I am now. And then I would drive to Colorado. Actually, I'd be either living in Hawaii or living on the coast here. And then I would drive to Colorado in August. And boy, it'd be just like my old trip. It's a hot time of year to be driving across the country. We should all go, Sarah. That'd be so fun. It would be great to network. It would be awesome. Yeah, and Jackie, actually, it's not that I don't need the schooling. I'm just sort of a cynic at this point. I do. I love listening to people's stories, though. And so I'd love to go and hear people's tales. I'm just a cynic when it comes to some of the claims of science because I don't think we have those yet, but it doesn't mean I don't like to listen to it. I went deep down that rabbit hole. So I'm definitely as guilty as anyone I like to point my finger at. So, but I'd love to go and I'd love to go meet everybody. I'd love to hear the talks actually. It'd be fun. So you have the original tickets booked that got moved with quarantine. So she moved it to August and her tickets are still valid. Cool. Yeah, Jackie. I mean, I'm not judging any of those folks, and I really appreciate all that they share and all that they bring to it. You know, like I know that I said some stuff like about Paul Saladino, and I hope it wasn't misconstrued because I do. I actually really appreciate his scientific mind and really appreciate the direction he's going. I just, you know, I've talked enough about that, but it's I'm not negative on those folks. And, you know, the talks at the Carnivory would probably be awesome. Just to hang out with everyone would be wonderful. So yeah, so that's pretty cool. I had kind of forgotten about that. Thanks for bringing that up, Robin. I'd forgotten about Carnivory Con and I mean, I guess I would have assumed it was postponed, but I'm glad to hear it's still potentially in the works. Yeah, cool, Jackie. Thank you. I'm glad that it wasn't misconstrued. I definitely try and keep an open mind, and I definitely am not one to like attack people for their approach at all. I just hopefully just shared my perception of yeah, those things. So Robin, your dog, I want to hear about your dog. I've been so thankful these past months for my little dog and his companionship. And as I've gotten older, you know, I've always had dogs since I was like 18, my own dogs. And I've always been strongly bonded to them, but I just recently I've really realized how important, my dog really is having somebody there for me. I mean, it's definitely different than being alone, and I just really appreciate him. And so I'm just happy to hear, always happy to hear about someone else's four-legged partner. So Jackie, I am looking right now. I'm not sure if I'm going to find it, but I'm looking over here. But I'm going to try and find the photo of me as a hippie for you. And Dr. Naiman, Ted Naiman is your doctor. That's cool. So Ted he seems like a great doctor, to be honest. He seems like he's a super cool guy. I love his sense of humor. I mean, I like his take on all of it, except, and I to be honest, I think if I'd never been carnivore, I think his take on carnivory would be, I would probably perceive it as being balanced, and you know, I would perceive him as being sort of above the others. But now that I know what carnivory really is, I recognize that he just hasn't actually given it a fair chance yet, and he hasn't turned off, you know, he had preconceived notions, and he hasn't been able to get past that. And that's the only part of what his message is that frustrates me with regards to carnivory, but I don't blame him for that. I don't think anyone who hasn't tried carnivore could ever understand it truly, and I don't think anyone like him is ever going to really give it a fair shake. You know, he says, I tried it, but you know he didn't do it. You know, you look at what he eats and what he believes, and you know that he hedged his bets with supplements and tomato sauce or whatever and said, oh, it's almost carnivory, so it's still carnivore. And that's the biggest problem, is that people who don't all the way believe in it think that close is the same thing. And those of us who are forced into carnivory know that close is not the same thing at all. As a matter of fact, it's miles away. So, you know, one bad ingredient can change the whole experience. So, yeah, that's all. Love those guys. For the most part, just, yeah, you get it. And Dr. Barry, he's my favorite. Absolutely my favorite, for sure. So he's just so down to earth, reasonable. I love it. I'm going to go back up here. I got behind. I'm going to show you the hippie. I'm getting distracted. Could not do Naaman's PE thing at all. Yeah. Too complicated. He's got his preconceived notions, and he won't let him go. I think if we could lock him in a cage and make him be a real carnivore for a month, I mean, it'd be amazing for him most likely, but I do love, I'll tell you what, he's an inspiration with regards to workouts. So I've been doing my home workouts with rings and stuff like that for probably not longer than him. He's been doing it for a long time, I think, but longer than I was aware of him doing it. I'll just put it that way. But man, he's accomplished at it. He's very, very, very physically, he's gifted, I think, or I'm just super weak because I've been trying so hard for years now, and I just cannot get past a few certain plateaus. Part of it, I think, is that it's hard to gain muscle when you can't gain weight on carnivore. And I'm gaining weight a little bit, but he takes too many selfies. Oh, that's funny. But I'm having a hard time getting stronger. You know, I've been trying to get stronger, like actively trying to get stronger for 3 years, and I'm not really any stronger. I look better, but my pull-ups, my maximum pull-ups hasn't really changed. I cannot do a muscle-up. I tried for 3 years. I just can't get there. Front lever, advanced front lever, like full front lever, actually. I can do tuck front levers, but 3 years, I was focused. I said, my goal, when I'm 50, I'm going to do this. And I can't do it, you guys. I'm not strong enough. I am too weak. And I used to wonder what it was, and now I know I'm just too weak, and I can't seem to add that muscle. And again, I think a big part of that is I'm you know, I just don't gain any weight. And so without gaining weight, you're not going to get any stronger. But I feel strong and I feel super healthy. I'm just saying, like, relative. I mean, here, look, I'll show off for you guys. I mean, I feel great. I do. I feel super strong, actually. I just haven't been able to gain any strength. I mean, I can bang out, you know, 13 or 14 pull-ups, but I can't get past it. Yeah, no, I mean, thanks, you guys. I, to be honest with you, I've never liked the way I looked more than I do now. I mean, I changed my entire body composition in these last 3 years, and I'm, you know, now clothes fit the way I think they should. I like how I look in the mirror. I'm way stronger than I've ever been. I didn't mean that. I just can't continue. I'm not able to get, I'm having a hard time getting any stronger than I am now. And I'm stronger now than I was when I started. So I got up to here, but now I just sort of plateaued. Sarah. And I mean, I'm not worried about being a bikini model either, Jackie. And I did start this actually for aesthetics because I hated how I looked and I hated how clothes fit me and I hated myself, you know, and those are parts of that package. And so I needed to love all of me to love me. And so that it was about appearance, but now it's not about appearance anymore for me. Now my goals are, you know, like I have these goals, like to do the full front lever just because it's something to progress at and something to work towards. And I like getting stronger and, man, I just cannot get stronger. I wonder, Kuhner, have you noticed that? Have you been, I don't know how old you are either, Kuhner. But I don't know if you've been able to get stronger, or if you've just been sort of, you know, I got a lot stronger, like I said, from when I was really weak, but now I've sort of plateaued. So I'm going to go back up and catch up with you guys here. I've been jabbering. Yeah, Dr. Barry has that great Tennessee accent going on. He does have a great bedside manner, and he's just such a kind man. I really enjoy Dr. Barry. Dr. Barry, thanks, man. I know you won't see this, but, Jackie says, I love eating what I like, what I can get. It makes me feel like running like a top, and he gets that too. Yeah, that's really cool about Dr. Naaman. And I love Dr. Barry. Talk to Paul Saladino is experimenting with honey. Interesting, Kuhner. And sweet potato. Interesting. And so that's pretty common, right? Not usually for the carnivores, but for people who are carnivore adjacent, those are usually kind of the popular, you know, a lot of times you'll see like on like bodybuilding sites where the carnivores talk about trying to bulk, they'll use, what's the dextrose? They use dextrose because it doesn't have the insulin response, I guess. I'm going to get it wrong. I don't remember why, but dextrose is what they use to try and get a carb pump. And then pretty quickly, if they're going natural, they'll use honey or sweet potatoes because they seem to have the least other stuff. It's interesting though. So, let's see. 17-year-old Baja Shelter Mutt. Oh, Robin, I love Baja Shelters. And Deb, no, I don't need to be stronger. No. I mean, you're totally right. I don't need to be stronger. I'm really pleased with all of my physical performance right now. I do not need to be stronger. You're totally right. It is a little bit of vanity. But more than anything, it's just progression. I mean, I thrive on progression. I think we all do. I think that's how we feel we're moving forward, whether it's progression, you know, in physical things or mental, you know, whatever. We just like to move forward to feel like our time here is not wasted. And so for me, part of that has been working on these goals, strength goals. They were just physical goals that I could set for myself that had clear-cut paths, you know, footsteps along the way that I could take and measure my progress. Those things really bring a lot of value to my life, so I don't need to be stronger. But I like the progress, and it's been frustrating to not be progressing. So, We have the same in these things called myself Fatty McButterpants, but it'll get where I want. Yeah, Jackie, it's so important to love yourself, and you got to stop talking to yourself that way. And I get it. I mean, I was so hard on myself. You wouldn't believe how I talked to myself, and I've totally changed it. That was actually a really difficult mental challenge, and it was very conscious. One of the first things I wrote on my list of goals when I started to change things was to be nice to myself and to tell myself that I love myself and to tell myself that I'm doing a good job. And those things were not part of my vocabulary. I was always tearing myself down. And I realized when I got to be 45 that the voice inside my head that was tearing me down was actually my father's voice. you know, because I would always hear the comments he made to me as a young man that tore me down. And that's, you know, he was teasing because that's how he grew up. And So as I got older, I recognized how deeply that affects one's psyche and how deeply that can shape, you know, who somebody is and how important it is to not go down that road. And so now I'm super careful about talking to myself, and I try and be careful about talking to other people too, because my dad still hasn't learned. And no matter, despite trying to tell him, love him to death, but, you know, doesn't understand how damaging that behavior is and how cruel it is and can be, and I think that's something that we do to ourselves as well. And so first thing for me was training myself to love myself and to be nice to myself. So so Keener, you're training for front lever, not sure you'll ever get there, and you're really tall. So yeah, you're 60 70 80 90, so you're 30 some centimeters taller than me, so that's like a foot. Yeah. Wow. Are you 6'5"? I am trying to do the math, but that's tall. Wow. So Esther, you do easy home workouts with kettlebells because muscle, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. That's exactly right, Esther. Good for you. I love kettlebells. I bought one last year and I've been doing a lot of workouts with it too. It's really great. And Kuner says 33, still getting stronger, but slowly now. Lately, I've been feeling the need to change my programming to see more progress, figuring out as I go. Yeah. Kuner, it's a tough one, isn't it? Programming is a big deal. And no, genetic. Sarah asked about my genetics. They're poor. I now tower over both of my parents. I'm a towering 5'5", so I tower over both of my parents now. I mean, my mom is really small now, and my grandma was like bare. I don't think she was 5 foot. Maybe she was, and not 100 pounds. So we were all small people. And then I think I was sick my whole life, so I was even smaller. So, so Deb says nothing wrong with vanity, and you're right. Progression is good. Yeah. That's the biggest thing for me, Deb. And Kuner, weighted pull-ups. That's been my program lately. So for the last few months, I've been weighted backpack on my back. I got a 20 pound pack. I weigh 140 pounds. So 20 pounds is, 5'6", so about 15% or so of my body weight, 20%, not 20%, 15% of my body weight, something like that. And I can do I can do 3 sets of 6 with 20 pounds pull-ups on my rings. I can probably do 8, max reps without, not sets. So I have been doing weighted, and I've been trying to get my max pull-ups up, and I'm trying to do that front lever. I'm still trying. I'm going to keep trying. So Sarah says, you look great. Thank you, Sarah. That's really nice. And same dad, probably. When you look back, you think there was a lot of value in some of the things he said. Don't get me wrong. I love my dad very much, and he's very loving. I'm so fortunate. He's the most loving man and the most loving father you could ever have. I never misconstrue, you know, the things that I am frustrated about with his intentions. But it's just a different culture, and it's not his fault. I grew up in that. And so I, acquired those same skills, and I didn't even realize until I was 40 that I was doing the same thing. So I don't blame him at all. You know, our society just does that. Like that's the norm. You know, I'm weird for trying to be positive and for calling people out when they tease. You know, that's perceived as strange. I don't care. I've stood firmly on the other side now. I think we should all do our best to build people up and be as positive as possible in our interactions, because you never know how deeply that can affect somebody. So yeah, that's all, Sarah. I hope I didn't mean to imply my dad was a monster. He's absolutely the opposite. He's a wonderful, loving, beautiful man. Love him to death. So, Jackie, your father's voice for me, your mother, and she's still doing it to this day. Yeah, and my father still does it to this day too. I've called him out on it now over the last 3 years, and so he's aware of it. But like the last time we visited, this is just an example. This is an example of him making progress, and it's funny to me, but it's endearing at the same time. He says, he pulls me aside and says, I recognize that you are highly sensitive, and the way I speak, is hurtful to you. So I'll try and fix that. So he put the blame on me, but he's making an effort to change. So, I really appreciated that despite his inability to see the big picture, but that's okay. Yeah, Jackie wore something a little snug, and she asked if I ever thought of losing weight a month ago. Gosh. It doesn't ever change, Jackie, right? And in her own way, she said it out of love, right? And so it's just something that we have to deal with. But it is. So Kuhner says, not 6'5", 6'3", and something. Well, that's pretty close to 6'5", bud, but it's tall anyways. But reading about doing a more hypertrophy period first, more reps, less intensity to prepare the body for gaining strength, followed by a strength period, but I've yet to try it. Yeah, Kuhner, I've been playing with those things quite a bit over the last 3 years, and I don't know what the answer is. I do believe that somewhere in the programming is the answer. I've gone weighted and unweighted, high reps, low reps, high volume, low volume during the week. I'm of the mind right now as an older guy that I think in the early days, I think I was limiting myself, by what we talked about last week with Dr. Baker, by basically overtraining. Not saying he's overtraining. I don't know if he is or not. Excuse me. But I was hard at the weights, at the body weight 3 days a week with, a long workout, high volume. And then I would force myself on my bike and do 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I slowly let go of the biking, but then I was still pushing on the body weight stuff. And I just realized I just wasn't, I was just constantly depleted. So that was a big part of programming for me. I needed to give myself some more time to recover. But I don't know what the answer is. It gets harder as they get to be 50. I mean, not that I knew what it was like when it was young, but because there's a balance, you need to work out hard to provide the stimulus, but at the same time, it's hard to not wear yourself out. I did 3 workouts this week, and I'm gonna tell you, I was wiped out yesterday. I mean, I didn't work out yesterday, Saturday, but I could feel all 3 of those workouts kind of built up on me. So Kuhner says, my outlook on life is inspiring. Well, thanks, Kuhner. I appreciate that. I thank you. I'll just leave it at that. She doesn't mean anything, but you call my mom out on it, hurt your feelings. And, Jackie, yeah, that's just it. A few years ago I went through it. I mean, I was in a really bad mental state as I was, so inflamed with my digestive stuff. I hadn't found carnivore yet, and I was trying to love myself, and I was hard on my dad, and I'm not proud of it, but it needed to be done. I needed to let him know, how that affected me and how it had affected my whole life. And I didn't even realize it until I was 40 that I had been deeply affected by that my whole life, down a day in and day out basis, like just things that I can remember him saying that stick in my brain that I still think I can't do, oh, I can't do that. I can't. My dad told me I'm no good at that. And, yeah, it's amazing. So yeah, Kuhner, talking about overtraining, trying to keep your sessions minimalistic and efficient. I think that's really important. When you first start, you go hard and then you sort of come back and rebalance. And now I'm starting to try and find that balance that keeps me invigorated. You know, I don't want to go through life just completely wiped out because I worked out so hard. I need something for the rest of life too. So it's a tough balance. And Robin says she went out stand-up paddleboarding the other day, and that was a great upper body and core workout. That is so much fun, isn't it, Robin? I don't know if you have one or if you got with friends or if you do it regularly, but stand-up paddleboarding is such a wonderful way to get out and enjoy the water, and it's such a good core workout. Oh, my gosh. It is unbelievable how much that drive comes from your core, and what an impact it has. So I'm really glad to hear you got out there and did that, Robin. That's super cool and super fun. And you know what's cool about those stand-up paddle boards is they're fun just about anywhere, whether you're on a little pond or a lake or the ocean or, you know, a river. Those things are just a blast. So they're definitely worth playing with if you haven't tried one. They're so much fun. I was in Bend, Oregon last fall. And, you know, I've always been here on the coast and seen the stand-up paddle boarders out in the surf and kind of perceive them as sort of a surf type thing. But when I was in Bend, they were floating the river, and it just looked so relaxing and so fun. I just loved it. So I don't know. That's not really neither here nor there, but so I am looking right now for a photo. I'll see if I can find one. I'm not sure if I've got one, but I was going to share an old photo of me with you guys, of me with my bus. Maybe. Keep your fingers crossed. I'm looking right now. Oh, all these old photos. Wow. I might have to come back to this. Okay, give me 1 minute here. Let's see. Volkswagen? No. I don't have one easily available here. I'll have to come back and show you guys. But I will. I'll make a little album. And I'll show you guys some of that stuff. Because it was a pretty fun time. So let's see. Well, it's been a pretty nice talk today, you guys. I wonder how Karen's doing. I hope she's doing well. Still fasting, maybe, I wonder. Well, remind me, Jackie. I'll try and make a little, I gotta go back into my old stuff and make a little photo, a little album. But I should do that. There's too many pics to look through right now. Yeah, you know, I think I will do that. I'll make an album of my gardens and stuff. Cause actually that's something that's interesting about, zero carb is, you know, talking about the stuff we used to do. I used to spend so much of my life gardening. And, so I'd love to show photos of that and some of that stuff. Funny, isn't it, how we change? I'm just looking, I can see myself, you know, the camera image of myself right now, and I'm just looking at my haircut that I gave myself, and I'm not really commenting on the haircut other than just looking at me and who I am and how I'm still, you know, the same person. I look so different though. It's funny how we change externally and internally. But yeah, so task for the week, photo album. And Kuhner says, planning on any cooking videos. So Kuhner, you know what, man? I am. And I've been having a hard time getting to them. But yeah, you know what? I think that's a good idea, man. I'll put that on my list right when we get down here today. I don't have a pen right there, but I'll get it on my list. I'll put both those things on my list, and I'll work on both of those. I'll see if I can get a carnivore cooking video out in the next week or two. I think that's a really good idea, and it'd be a good use of my time. I'd like to share what I do there. So I think the biggest problem is that my cooking setup is a mess. I just don't want to clean it up for a video, but I'll definitely do that. So let's see. Garden and hippie picks coming. You got it, Jackie. Neat cookies. Yes, Esther. Still on the menu. And Sarah's doing a low country boil for tomorrow, for Thursday. Ooh, for the family. That's going to be so good, Sarah. Yum. Crawfish and whatnot, maybe. I think that might be what that means. I'm guessing. But it sounds delicious. And yeah, that's a good idea, Kuhner. I will. I'll do a cooking one. I really want to share my flat top. I think it's, I mean, after all the other stuff I've tried, it's definitely the best thing going for me. So I'll do a, I'll do one with a, you'll see, it'll have some, the mess will only comfort you. Okay, good. Yeah, I think we probably all feel that way after a few months of carnivore. It's like, well, we're just covered in grease anyways. But, yeah, I will. I'll work on that, Kuhner, this week or next. And you'll see it. I'll do a clickbait video. I'll probably call it, cooking on a carnivore diet with no mess or something like that. And we'll try and get the noobs over. But I'm glad to hear the mess will comfort you, because that is right. Like, that's actually why I want to share it, because the mess is the biggest challenge of this way of eating. And I think that the flat tops really deal with it in a way that, well, it's better than anything else anyways. So yeah, let's go over that. That's a good call, Kuhner. So I'll do that. And, well, jeez, that's probably enough for today, huh? You guys, I've been rambling at you forever. We've been going for over an hour. Hey, buddy. There's my little doggy coming in to say hi. Come here, dude.
Hi, bud.
You want to say hi to everyone?
Not really.
He doesn't like being picked up, so I'll just leave him down there. So, yeah. So, boy, I hope you guys have a great Sunday, the rest of today, and I hope you have a great week, you guys. I'll work on the things we talked about. I'll try and get some photos, and I'll work on a cooking video, but mostly I'm going to work on staying positive, staying in the moment. Just being here, being thankful that I have each day to make progress. I'm going to try and stay here and stay home and make progress on my stuff. I don't need to go out and interact with the world to do that. I can try and work on my front levers, and I can work on making my guts better, and I can work on staying positive, and I can work on being financially independent here by making videos. So all those things are good. So hopefully you guys have some stuff to work on this week, stuff to make progress on. So, yeah, let's just stay positive, you guys. Stay in the moment. Be thankful that we've got another day to progress. Each day you wake up, just be stoked, right? It's another opportunity. So I can't thank you guys enough for watching and listening. Robin says, used to do a lot of kayaking and miss that and think of buying one. Robin, you know, I think we aren't going to be here forever. And we aren't going to be fit forever, and who knows what's going to happen with the rest of the world. You might as well just go get that kayak today, hon. Just get out there and do those things, man. You know, we you never know, right? So make some progress, enjoy each day. It's just a gift that you never know if you get another one. So all right, you guys, really great to have you all here. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Stay positive, and I will come back. We'll do it next week, 11 o'clock. Hopefully I'll have some photos for you. So all right, I'm going to do the sign-off video, and I'll see you guys next week. Thanks, you guys. Have an awesome week.